What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, baby, here we go. It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. 45 minutes till Ohio State and Notre Dame face off for the title. It's time now for Zach Wolchuk to deliver the Chuck Wagon.
All right, who you got? The Irish or the Buckeyes? 903 said nobody circles the wagons like the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. But we did get a good question from the 682. What would be worse for the Buffalo Bills? Potentially losing to the Chiefs again, or an NFC East team in the Super Bowl like they did four times in a row in the 90s?
Gosh, dude.
I didn't even think about that, but that's true. They lost to the Giants, then Washington, then Dallas twice. The Eagles would be the only one that they hadn't lost to. So if it was Eagles, which would be sickening to watch, but Eagles-Bills, and the Eagles won, oof. But I think for them, losing to the Chiefs would be worse. I think finally getting back to the Super Bowl would be a win for Bills Mafia.
I think you'd rather lose in the Super Bowl.
When you slay the dragon, that is Pat Mahomes, and then go on to lose the Super Bowl, and now all you've done is put another larger chip on his shoulder for next year, good luck, dude. You're not beating Mahomes again.
No, they'd have blown their only chance, but that's also why I don't think that would happen. The times we've seen this, usually those teams cash in, like Steve Young beat the Cowboys, then crushed it in the Super Bowl. Manning finally beat Brady in the Pats, then they go on and win, beat the Bears in the Super Bowl.
It's just hard to imagine the Eagles being able to win the Super Bowl. It'd be crazy to be living in a world where they can just throw the ball for 150 yards a game and win.
Well, that's what Saquon Barkley does for
you. Bum running backs, man, I'm telling you.
Crazy.
It is nuts. It is nuts with Kellen Moore. Okay, we got great prices for this national championship game.
Just so you know, you're working with a guy who wants the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
You are?
No. Broadus wants to see Saquon Barkley handed the ball about 25 times and running those filthy Eagles to a Super Bowl championship.
I want to see Buffalo Bills win the Super Bowl. That's who I want to see.
And he gets it.
But their back's only getting paid like $1.7 million.
I took him in the second round.
I want to see that guy that throws the cattle ranchers
win. A premium pick on him.
That's true. That ends up being a good notch on your belt because you love Josh Allen.
I'm sitting good, man. These quarterbacks, I got them all right, man. Daniels, Mahomes, all these guys, man. I'm the quarterback whisperer. You guys will learn it one day.
Well, but I'm there. I also remember a day,
Anthony Richardson,
from March of 2024, when the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley, a huge contract, and you asked us if they do go win the Super Bowl like this, will you guys change your opinion about running backs? And I know you've had that in your back pocket.
No, I'm not that guy. I just forget about that.
No.
I'm having fun with Eric on this because
I mean, both of you guys are wearing green today, so I did kind of wonder about
that.
Oh,
they're doing it for the Fighting Irish Notre Dame.
Yeah, this is just nothing but Notre Dame.
They're picking
right
the
now.
Irish.
I just ran out of LSU gear to wear. That was my only deal.
It's a way cleaner day.
And I'm repping my Michigan blue. Yeah. Screw you, Buckeyes.
Yeah.
We're pulling for Notre Dame, baby. We're doing it for the Montanas. Jeremiah Love.
I'd like to see it for the fans of Buffalo. I really would.
Yeah, I would too. I'm rooting for the Bills. Let's go, Buffalo.
Let's go.
But I wouldn't mind seeing a three-peat. Basically, I'm just rooting for the AFC.
This is going to be an all-time Sunday hate watch, though, isn't it? Watching the Commanders and the Eagles.
I'm sure there's some college film I got to watch.
Ugh. That game's going to be disgusting. But yeah. All right.
That's the ultimate hate watch.
National championship game tonight. All right. We got outstanding prices that are going down. And really, the rest of the league should just take notice of what they're doing at that Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Price is when we had Georgia and TCU at SoFi 2 years ago. Premium beer or small pour was $17. Craft beer, $19. To upgrade to a premium beer was an additional $6. Then last year, you also had beers that were like $13 to $17 if you wanted them. And for a burrito, it was $15. $9 for meatballs. Other specialty items got up to $22. This year, your concessions, you're looking at like $6 a beer. You're looking at a regular domestic beer costing $5. This is going to be amazing. If you're looking for something a little bit more filling, you got a full meatball hoagie, $10 to $12, which is less than a bowl of meatballs at LA's game 2 years ago. And then they're offering a barbecue platter. All right. Now, this isn't Hurtado, so it's not going to be as good. But they got the barbecue box at Champions. It's $40. You're getting house-smoked sliced brisket, quarter chicken, beef ribs with cornbread, baked beans, apples coleslaw, peach cobbler, and two barbecue sauces, one which represent each team, the Buckeyes and the Irish. There's only 200 of these made, and they're in a specialty box. But for $40.
$40, man, you get a three-meat combo, a couple of sides.
And this could feed the family. I mean, these are decent-sized sides here we're looking at. It's like family style.
Does it pass the eye test, the barbecue? How's
the barbecue does pass the eye test. Yeah, it looks pretty. The chicken really looks fantastic. That house, that like quarter smoke, chicken. Yeah, it's a smoked chicken. Smoke. Looks really good. The ribs, the beef ribs are pretty big. Now
quarter
the
chicken can get a little messy. That might be a sweet meal.
But the cornbread looks delicious.
Yeah, that's I'd be all over that. I'd shell out the $40 for a big box like that.
$5 a beer. Yeah, that's
which has a bigger shot to happen? That they run out of beer or the barbecue meal?
The barbecue meal. They only got a 200.
Only 200 of them, yeah. People are going to get in on this one. Honestly,
those are probably already sold out.
Yeah, they probably are.
Do you think they're part of that package thing that you were talking about, like the $8,000 deal?
I think they would have specified. I think that deal was just a bunch of chicken tenders and hot dogs and whatnot.
I mean, it's $2 for a regular soda. How much is that at a Mavs or a Stars game?
Oh, $10.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. I wonder if they run out of beer during these games, especially college games.
Remember when we ran out of beer at Texas Live during the Rangers parade?
I know. We weren't prepared for that. It's $2 for a classic hot dog. $2 for a classic hot dog.
Drank every beer they had.
$2 for a classic hot dog. And they have the Chick-fil-A in there, too. They got the Chick-fil-A in there. It's going to be open.
$5 for a classic cheeseburger. I mean, the $3 for a sausage slice. Get yourself a Stromboli for $14. It looks like the most or a whole pizza is $18. For a whole one.
Man.
Why would you buy a whole pizza when you could get all that other stuff for cheap?
Yeah, I probably would.
Well, if you got a squad with you, you're like, hey, boys, we each pitch in $2. We each get a slice of pizza. It's just a little walking slice.
Why not
to get to the barbecue line.
Get nine hot dogs.
Why don't we all go for just all get like big hamburgers and doll them up ourselves?
I don't know, Brian. Maybe people just like pizza.
Yeah.
I mean, is that?
I'd be double fisting it. Me and my boys would go in on the pizza. I would get my own cheeseburger. So I got pizza in the left hand, cheeseburger in the right, and then I'm walking to the barbecue box spot.
I've seen you eat it
for the real meal.
I've said, you basically like knocked me on the ground and took my media food tickets from me.
I did.
He
tripped me. He pushed me down. I was carrying my chair and he like grabbed the tickets out of my pocket.
Yes, but that's because you said you were going to give them to them.
No,
to him, and you didn't do it. You never gave them to him.
No, he pushed me down.
You told him they were his.
He goes, "Hey, where are those tickets, Batman?" And I'm like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he tripped me and pushed me down on the ground.
To be fair, I was like three or four vodka sodas deep.
Yeah, and you couldn't.
I had to stand in line, and they like basically.
Against me.
You threaten the guy like, oh, I can only carry two? What are you talking about? This ain't America?
Give me four.
He did. He stood up there and like was kind of bitching. He goes, hey, could you like carry two for me, Broadus? I'm like, no, I'm not going to be like you.
Guy, I got some Secret Service dudes to spill some vodka on.
That still was my all-time favorite thing. That poor guy was sitting there, didn't bat an eye.
No, he didn't bat an eye. Yeah. Okay, speaking of the Rangers, we did get Jacob DeGrom out at FanFest, by the way. FanFest was excellent. If you were listening on Saturday out there, everybody did a great job over the weekend. Will, Jake, crushing it. You had Blake and Fred afterwards. But, I mean, Bochy on the show, Chuck Morgan, Ian Kinsler. It was a blast. It was a who's who. But here was Jacob DeGrom. What are his goals for 2025?
Does 25 make you go wild?
Yeah. The goal is to get out there as many times as I can. You know, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of, I guess, you know, we'd have to be smart with, you don't want to jump to 200 and something innings, but I'd like to be able to go out there and make 30. You know, that's the goal. We signed here to pitch, haven't been able to do that. So the goal is to go out there and make as many starts as I can.
Yeah, so I would approach this. Well, Chuck, I'd love your thoughts on this. Maybe if Sandler is listening, he can call in and tell me why I'm wrong. But I would make a six-man rotation, and DeGrom is pitching every 10 days. On his fifth day, he's playing long toss, and like John Gray is stepping in for a bullpen day. But John Gray is my long relief guy, and on those days, on that 10th day where DeGrom's not pitching, he's going to step in and give you two or three innings to start, and the bullpen's going to take it from there.
I actually love this idea, and it's also going to help Nathan Eovaldi, who you've seen fatigue with velocity later on in the season. John Gray's dealt with injuries. Cody Bradford's dealt with injuries. You got a lot of guys. I mean, Tyler Malley, right? I mean,
he's
come back from Tommy John. I think doing that, not only does it help DeGrom, but it might help preserve the rest of your rotation as well.
Do you think so? These guys are always going to be somewhat hurt.
Yeah, I don't think you're navigating through a season without injury.
I think it's a great idea. I just always, though, believe, though, that something as soon as you implement that, Malley, Gray, somebody is not going to be able to pitch. Now that messes up.
Well, we didn't even mention Kamar Rocker. We didn't mention Jack Leiter. Like, they've got some other guys that could slide in there. I mentioned Bradford, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they have a number of guys that could do this, and I would trade for other guys. I would bring other guys up from the minor leagues, but I want DeGrom at a state where nothing is fatigued on his entire body. Everything is maximum stretch. Nothing is fatigued. If there's any nagging injury, we're shutting him down. We have to get to October with DeGrom healthy, you know, in order to, you know, get something out of this contract. We're heading into year three now. What have we got? 8 starts, 9 starts? And last year at the end of the season was very compelling. You know, it showed me this guy can sit around for 15 months and then show up and be one of the best pitchers in baseball. So let's manage the season. Hopefully the offense and Jake Berger and all the pieces that they've added, you know, are hitting in a way. They have a top 5 offense. We can get to the playoffs, but DeGrom's got to be healthy when we get there. I just don't know how Ray's going to feel about it. I think Ray will be like, I want the gate draw. I want the ratings boost from DeGrom starting. And if that's what you want, then, you know, I think you'd be like, well, we got to start the guy every fifth day. But it wears on a guy, and sometimes you can't see it in metrics. He's throwing fine, he's fine, but there's something inside of his muscles that fatigue. And when you start to break down a little bit in the fatigue department, that's when injuries happen.
I am definitely for a six-man rotation idea. I wonder when we get to spring training and they're reporting we got pitchers and catchers February 12th right around the corner. That's another conversation we can have maybe around the clubhouse. Rangers are also going to be playing the Padres on July 6th, part of the 4th of July ESPN Sunday Night Baseball weekend doubleheader. So that's going to be fun. They'll get to take on San Diego, national TV primetime game. Maybe you'll have Wyatt Langford hit for the cycle. Who knows? That happened the last time they were on Sunday Night Baseball.
Bang.
Tonight, back to this national championship game. Congratulations to Sark. Some of this NFL buzz got him another fat extension there with Texas. And that's what it's all about. Just go ahead and make that money, baby. Make that money. And Sark certainly was cashing in. But it does look like Jeremiah Smith, the outstanding freshman for Ohio State, little wrap on that left hamstring tonight. Mm. Keep an eye on that one. He was definitely limited against Texas. Didn't look quite the same. And I think a lot of that has to do with Jahdae Barron and Makubu and an excellent defense and a great game plan that they had there for Texas. I don't know. You mentioned Benjamin Morrison being out.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, can they match up? And Notre Dame likes to play a lot of man. And if you're going to be able to do that against guys like Emeka Ibuka and Carnell Tate, I mean, Ohio State can really spread you out matchup-wise. That might hurt them. But maybe you don't have 100% Jeremiah Smith in this game. It does look like Jeremiah Love, the stud running back for Notre Dame, has no knee brace. And he told Pete Thamel that he's about 90 to 95% compared to 75 to 80% against Penn State. And he was hurdling guys in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had one of the toughest angry runs in college football playoff touchdown history. It was a violent TD.
It was. It was a big man, grown man TD. Ohio State expected to give sophomore Luke Montgomery his second career start. Made his first start at left guard last week against Texas, so he's going to be in for an injury there. And it looks like we got a $100,000 bet on Ohio State and -370, according to BetMGM. The bet would win $27,000. Never quite understood those bets. Why are you betting $100K to win $27,000?
You know, I feel like at that point you've had a horrible losing streak, right? You're going against the spread, you're going over-unders, and you're like, you know what? I can't figure this thing out. Let me just get the team that I think is going to win, and I'll take the $25,000.
Okay, Brian, what do you think about these all-time great NFL Notre Dame Ohio State rosters, and which team do you think is going to win? 877-881-1053. At quarterback for Ohio State it's actually C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? At quarterback for Notre Dame, it's Joe Montana.
Wow.
I think that's a win for the Irish.
Ball game. Don't need to hear anything else.
It's over. Yeah,
saw Joe in hypothermia mode.
It probably is.
So the game winner in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, it's over now. Running backs at Ohio State, Eddie George and Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, no Archie Griffin, back-to-back Heisman Trophy winner?
No, they didn't put him there. Now, this is just for NFL rosters. I think they're looking at like how they do in the NFL.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about all-time greats.
I think it's like all-time great NFL Notre Dame, Ohio State rosters.
Gotcha.
Jerome Bettis. Jerome Bettis and Ricky Waters. Make it for Notre Dame.
I think the Ohio Staters have the advantage.
Now. I agree.
Advantage okay. Buckeyes.
Wide receiver, Chris Carter, Paul Warfield, Terry McLaurin.
Pretty good for Ohio State.
Irish.
Tim Brown. Oh, wait, hang on. Rocket Ishmael.
Rocket.
One more Notre Dame great wide receiver. I don't know. Who
Golden Pitcher.
Golden Tate.
Jeff Samardzija would have been a good one. Like him.
Jeff Samardzija. That puts
Notre
Tate Dame over.
In there, yeah. And their tight end's Dave Casper for the Fighting Irish.
Goes to the post.
The Buckeyes get Keith Byers as their tight end.
Well, he was a fullback.
In the NFL?
Oh, well, I see. He was a fullback.
Might have changed positions in the NFL.
Yeah.
Offensive line, left tackle Orlando Pace. Left guard Jim Parker, center Nick Mangold, right guard LeCharles Bentley, and right tackle Corey Stringer.
Oof.
Play great for the offensive line for the Buckeyes. Offensive line for Notre Dame, you got Bob Kuchenberg.
That's a old Dolphin.
Quentin Nelson.
Okay.
Tim Grunhard at
Tim
center.
Tim Grunhard, yeah.
Zach Martin at right guard.
Yeah.
And George Koontz at right tackle. This is a watch yourself offensive line because you might slip up and get an FCC violation.
Ohio State's going to win that one, I think, right there.
I think I'm giving it to Notre Dame just on pronunciation alone.
Mm-hmm.
The defense for the Buckeyes, Nick Bosa, Cam Hayward, Dan Wilkinson, Jim Marshall, Pepper Johnson.
Dan Wilkerson was so good.
Randy Gradishar, Chris Spielman, Antoine Winfield at corner, Dick LeBeau at corner.
Yeah.
Jack Tatum and Malcolm Jenkins are your safeties defense.
Jack Tatum would knock you unconscious.
That's a physical bunch. Yeah. Justin Tuck.
He'll be targeting and he'd be kicked out of the game.
I know. he is going to like blow you up.
Yeah, he'd be suspended for the first half of the next game.
Yeah.
Justin Tuck, Alan Page, Bob Golic, and Bryant Young is your defense for the Irish.
Ooh.
Jim Lynch, Nick Bonacani, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, your linebacking core. Mm. Dave Wehmer, Todd Light, Harrison Smith, and Dave Duerson in the secondary.
Dave Duerson, the 85 Bears team.
Overall, we probably lean still the Irish because of Joe Montana.
Mm-hmm.
I know Mike Golic Jr. didn't make it, but I think tonight I'm taking the Buckeyes to win. I'm pulling for the Irish to get it done. Hopefully Jeremiah Love and the special teams, maybe they can make some special teams plays for the Irish. They've been great all year. The kick return against Georgia, I think they've blocked more punts than anybody in the nation. We'll see if that can help because they're going to need help in other areas because just man versus man, Ohio State's much better.
Do we know which field goal kicker is the most shakiest? Would that be Ohio State's kicker is the most shaky dude?
That's a great question.
Because Notre Dame's guy transferred from South Carolina, and he made the game winner the other day.
Okay, but I wonder he's not shakier.
Because they usually it comes down to a shaky kicker in these things sometimes. So keep an eye on that, as I like to say.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk.
Thanks.
Okay, we want to talk some more college football. Are we done? That yeah, did it, right? Are you going to get the punter in there or anything?
No.
Okay. That was your full wagon?
That was my wagon.
Nice job.
I hitched it to myself.
What are we doing next, Chief?
Yeah, let's continue to prep ourselves for kickoff. The Natty. Let's do it. Next.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back, Nation. We're counting down to kickoff. Ohio State, Notre Dame here in about 22 minutes. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. This is just your friendly reminder to, while consuming the Natty tonight, go ahead and flip on over to that McAfee cast. All right? Soak it in that way. I know we all have respect for Kirk Herbstreit, who he is and what he does. Chris Fowler, of course, two legends in the booth. But you got to hear that barking dog the whole time in the background, which is a little bit annoying. You don't have to hear that when you got the McAfee crew getting after it. They're hyped. They're excited. They have a who's who of different Tebow's, Saban's popping in, popping out. It's a party, man. McAfee cast that bad boy tonight.
McAfee has made everything more entertaining. You know, he's totally changed sports TV already.
I couldn't believe it when the news broke that he was retiring as one of the best punters to become a podcaster. I was like, who's this guy think he is?
Coming into my house, my domain.
He's incredible, though.
Now he's the alpha.
Yeah.
I do also want to point out, we're dealing with one of the better all-time color clashes tonight in the national championship. You're going to have the Fighting Irish wearing their blue tops. You'll have Ohio State wearing their white tops. I think either direction, this was going to be, this is just classic. You look at your screen and you're like, oh my gosh, yes, this belongs. I'm super excited about it. Who do you guys imagine is the favorite to win the MVP of tonight's game?
Will Howard?
Is it?
Is it?
Maybe I'm going to say, with Wolchek's got me a little worried about Smith's injury potentially, but I'm going to say
Jeremiah.
Yeah, I'm going to say Smith.
Jeremiah Johnson Smith coming in at number two plus 350. It is Will Howard is okay. The favorite to be the offensive MVP. It's Howard, then it's Jeremiah Smith, wide receiver for Ohio State, then it's the Irish quarterback Riley Leonard, and then it's Buckeye running back Travion Henderson, and then Irish running back Jeremiah Love. So Will Howard certainly is the favorite here. Now,
how many of these running backs out there are potential round two, round three guys for us? I know Travion Henderson's one of them.
Henderson, both the Buckeyes, right?
Yeah, Henderson. Yeah, Henderson for sure. And Junkins both are guys that you can definitely look at. Can I say something real quick, Chief? Something to keep an eye on this football game?
Absolutely.
Josh Fryer, the right tackle for Ohio State. If you play that game like on Sesame Street, one of these things doesn't belong.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, Josh Fryer's that guy.
Josh Fryer.
Yeah, he is not like your typical looking Ohio State lineman. Watch, see if Notre Dame will try and attack number 70, the right tackle, and make things a little bit difficult. He doesn't move as well as Donovan Jackson, who we're looking at right now, who is a guard who's playing tackle for Simmons. They've had to do a lot of shuffling around. But Notre Dame, I kind of feel like that Josh Fryer, if I always talk about guys that can get attacked during a game, number 70 for Ohio State. That's a point I think I'd go at if I were the Irish.
All right. Well, that's good news because the Irish themselves are dealing with the patchwork offensive line situation. I mean, that really feels like could be one of many, obviously, advantages for the Buckeyes. But
Buckeyes
like the
got
real
a,
difference
Buckeyes
maker.
Got a legitimate front. And, yeah, and exactly. I mentioned Caleb Downs again, the safety who made the big play on the toss sweep that they had in the Texas game.
And the interception to ice it.
They've got a veteran front, and every one of these guys we're looking at right now is potentially like second or third round lineman in this draft.
44, JTT, I think he's a second round possibility. I didn't even try to say it. I'd be very for the Cowboys taking him there. Jack Sawyer, 33, we know about him, made the awesome play against Quinn Ewers. Tyleek Williams, the big defensive tackle, could be a first round consideration there as well. So, I mean, the Buckeyes defensive line, absolutely, is going to be one of, and then the two running backs, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins. Maybe they're second round options for you. And Emeka Ebuka should be in play there at number 12,
the
wide receiver for Ohio State.
Well, I got some Ebuka stuff for you. Notre Dame offensive line. I mean, I think it's left tackle and right guard.
Yes.
That are both kind of the influx dealing with banged up dudes. And as you mentioned, with that front for Ohio State, that could get precarious. I think Marcus Freeman is going to have to pull out all the stops. I'm excited to see what type of tricks he has up his sleeve here. I think overall
he's going to Dan Quinn this thing?
Overall aggression, yes. I think this is going to be one of those games where if it's even close, you got to go for it.
Yeah.
And try to take the ball out of the air, so to speak. But, yeah, as Denton Day was mentioning us to us earlier, like you get down to the Buckeyes, that's going to be an onslaught. Like you got to keep this thing in the balance there.
Out trying to play safe though, and trying to prevent the big play while stopping the run with my normal front. And if that doesn't work on the first drive, we should know if we're getting run all over. Then maybe I'll get risky. But I think there's a chance Notre Dame could keep this a slugfest in a low scoring game. And I think that would be my goal going in. Maybe reevaluating after the first quarter. I don't want to put too much risk into it, because I don't want to give them the ball at midfield.
No, I get you on that. Yeah. I get you on that. In the past 3 years, Notre Dame is 5-3 straight up as underdogs, and they're 6-1-1 against the spread. Of course, they're 8.5-point dogs to Ohio State in this game.
Yeah, the Notre Dame clearly is going to be out matched when it comes to skill players. You know, we talked about the runners and stuff. But, you know, keep an eye on, there's this kid named Jaden Greathouse, the wide receiver at Notre Dame. Kind of a sneaky, like, need a third down reception guy. He's a guy that kind
third of... Third and Greathouse.
He finds space. When you watch Notre Dame film, he shows up quite a bit. He wears number one, and he's only a sophomore. So he's... When they might need a first down, a crossing route, something inside, they need 7 yards. This kid finds a way to get 8. So they're
a savvy guy.
They're clearly Notre Dame does not have the skill that Ohio State does, but they've got some players, like I say, a Greathouse who can make some plays and maybe get some first downs along the way.
Attitude and effort, man. Ain't that right, Will Chuck?
Attitude and effort.
Notre Dame 13-2 against the spread this season. That's best in college football. So they have been really, really good as an underdog over the last few years. And this year, they've been the best team in all of college football against the spread. If you're thinking about maybe placing a wager here shortly before kickoff, we're just a few minutes away. Now, I do have the most bet tickets for player props tonight. We're going to start with Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard, who I will say a hell of a lot bigger than I thought he was. I didn't realize he was... just a giant force at the position, 6'4", like 230.
Runs the ball well. Those design quarterback runs.
And that you got to, like, for fourth down, you saw it last night with, like, Josh Allen, and it's just whenever you need something, boom, just direct snap to your quarterback. You have 11 guys blocking on the field, and use your giant quarterback to go get you 2 yards. Yeah. That to me, needs to be the plan for Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame tonight. Use Riley Leonard. His over on the rushing yards, 36.5.
That's
the fifth most bet ticket, the over on 36.5 rushing yards for Notre Dame's quarterback. You have number four most bet ticket is Notre Dame's running back, Jeremiah Love, who Walchuk just pointed out is feeling healthier than he even was last week. He's been dealing with a bit of a knee issue, 90-95% ready to go, and he's the fourth most bet ticket for tonight's game, over 45.5 rushing yards. Where are you at on that? Would you go over?
Yeah, absolutely. If he's under that, the Irish have gotten completely destroyed. Yeah, absolutely. Destroyed.
You have, let's see, Will Howard over 245.5 passing yards. Howard over 245.5. That's a pretty solid number there. It's a lofty
number. That's a healthy number. I'm going way under that. I do feel like the Longhorns have given you a blueprint on what could give you a chance to contain that Ohio State attack. You deal with what they're doing on the ground, but you cannot, you know, pull a Detroit Lions and go after these guys and let a couple of big scores happen in the first half. You'd be Dunsky.
Yeah, we mentioned about, you know, Notre Dame being down with the corner. Man, they are playing with, like, redshirt freshmen.
Yeah.
Freshmen, true freshmen. I mean, they've held up pretty nicely, but man, they're about to deal with a whole different beast here when it comes to what Ohio State's going to run out there. So we'll see if these young kids early just do not get too overwhelmed. If they can hold up, then that's a good sign for Notre Dame.
Aeneas Williams for the Irish over 24.5 receiving yards. And number one, the most bet ticket, is Emeka Ebuka over 61.5 receiving yards.
I love it.
That feels like a pretty good play. I mean, last week versus Texas, it was Jeremiah, and his was the most bet ticket, and it was like 85.5 receiving yards, I think. For Ebuka, man, 61.5. And you know, like, the blueprint's sort of out there now to try and slow down Jeremiah Smith. That's going to open things up. Like, that was one of the things that, despite the fact that Texas was able to sort of erase Jeremiah Smith from the game last week, Will Howard was like, that's fine. I got 5 other dudes that I can just pepper the ball to. He's obviously next on the list.
Yeah, it seemed like their counter was to go to him underneath a little bit more and just try to get the ball in his hands and let him make plays.
Do you pronounce the G in Ebuka, or do you just say Ebuka?
I say Ebuka. I always say things wrong, so don't trust me.
That's true. I should go to a different arbiter. Do you go egg or just Ebuka? Egg-buka.
Egg-buka. Yeah, I just don't like overly emphasize the G.
Sounds like it'd be delicious, by the way.
Ebuka.
I don't know what the buka part would be, but...
Ebuka.
It's like a really good drink.
I'm sure it's a popular dish somewhere in Columbus.
The Emeka.
Egg-buka. The biggest reported bet from BetMGM right now is almost $500,000. On Notre Dame plus 8.5.
Floyd Mayweather into the building or something.
Yeah, who's got the pockets like that? It comes from somebody in Ohio. So maybe it's an anti-Buckeye with a lot of dollars, just hate watching the Buckeyes saying, you know what, I'm going to put almost half a milli on
probably
this.
Portnoy.
Plus 8.5. You
know? Dutch oven.
Oh, maybe.
Dutch going back home, watching the game, placing fat wagers. I do love that. Okay, so are we all picking Ohio State? Because I think I kind of want to go the other way. I want to go Lone Wolf. I want to go Notre Dame. Upset special.
I took the Buckeyes, dude.
I'm going upset special with the Fighting Irish, and they do what you saw many teams in the NFL do yesterday. You don't have to be flashy. You don't have to be crazy. Just get out there and don't make mistakes. And they're playing with house money right now.
So you're picking them straight up to win Notre Dame tonight?
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be putting any money on it. But yeah, just for funsies, give me Irish.
I'm on quite a losing streak. I think I've lost my last 5 sports wagers in a row. The wild card weekend trounced me. The divisional weekend finished me off. So it's going to be a while before I make another sports wager. But if I was going to tonight, it would be a 2-team parlay. I'm taking Ohio State straight up, parlayed with with Notre Dame plus 9.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I think that's smart money.
Close game.
That's certainly smart money. And honestly, that would be a huge win. If Notre Dame can just cover, then I'll chalk that up as just an entertainment win for tonight. Please just be in the balance in the fourth quarter, please.
So you don't want that? You don't want a TCU Georgia game?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, we don't need to see Ohio State eating chicken wings on the sidelines for the entirety of the fourth quarter, taking champagne out of the hands of the fans because they're already in celebration mode because the boat race is on. We don't need that.
No, not at all.
I think my favorite betting nugget about this game, though, is the random bettor who put, this must have been a while ago, put $5 on the line, and he parlayed the Florida Panthers winning it all, the Celtics winning it all, the Dodgers winning it all, UConn basketball winning it all, and Scottie Scheffler winning, I don't even know which one, but whichever one that Scottie Scheffler ended up winning last year, one of the majors. And he's hit, obviously, all of those. And so now the final leg of the bet, unfortunately, or actually fortunately for him, is Ohio State winning.
That's okay, let me say he's going to make $175,000.
He put $5 on that. You're going $175. What do you got, Broadus?
Obviously, I didn't nail it.
I'm sorry. We're talking coaching search here over here. My apologies.
You're not paying attention.
I wasn't paying
attention. It was a 6-leg parlay.
I got a text.
Five of them.
Okay. So
and the final one is Ohio State winning tonight. The odds were plus 416,000.
Did you give us the other 5? Did you give us the other 5 legs?
Yes. UConn basketball, Scottie Scheffler, Dodgers, Celtics, Panthers.
Appreciate that. I'm sorry. I was text.
Had another one of these, and he needed somebody. Was it the Super Bowl champion?
Yeah, I think there was a Super Bowl champion one.
That person probably lost. Maybe it was the Commanders.
Well, either way,
when you remember,
this dude is sitting down here, and he has a chance. If Ohio State wins tonight, he will cash out a $5 bet that will pay him $21,000.
Yeah. Still pretty good, but man, if I'm getting that many things right over that sustained period of time,
I feel like I should be...
the sports book's coming out pretty good.
we should be getting 50, I think 50 Jeebos would be nice.
Yeah.
But I'm pulling for that guy tonight, despite the fact that I got the Irish getting it done. No mistakes. Mistake-free football. Hard work.
Kick,
hustle.
Return, punt return.
Attitude. Effort. Savvy third down plays to great house. You know, it's stuff that's going to put Riley Leonard and Marcus Freeman on top of the college football world. Book it.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
A college football day darty is in the books as we're now 7 minutes from kickoff here for your national championship game. And we're about 5-6 minutes away from cross-talking with the Fan After Dark. See what Fred and Blake have cooking here for you on a Monday night next in the Nation.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
All right, again, 89% of the sharp money, the wise guys are on Notre Dame plus 8.5 as they get set for kickoff. They're doing the coin flip, and we're about to hand it off to the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake. And a good evening, gentlemen. How the heck are you?
Appreciate the G-Bag nomination today. I mean, we got no votes, but I'll tell you what. We got the nomination, so I'll take it. And kind words from you, Mr. Gavin.
Hey, heck of a show.
So
I can see it.
That's a dub right there. I'll take it.
It's coming along well. I mean, Fan After Dark. There have been a lot of evening shows here over the years that have gone on to do great things, and I predict nothing short of that for you guys. Great things.
I appreciate it.
Congrats on everything you've built in a short period of time.
Of course. You know, the great words, the Tolos, the Fatties, they make it possible. All we do is just talk on the radio and hopefully entertain everyone out there listening. This has to work. Not able to see the national championship with your eyes. So let us visually guide you through this.
I'm gonna give you guys the credit for the lead-in. It's kind of like when people used to try to say that Friends was better than Seinfeld, but the real reason people even watched Friends was because of Seinfeld, yeah. Right? Well, we're getting, you know, people that are tuned into G-Bag, stick around, listen to us. So, you know, my hat's off to you guys for such a great lead-in to the program.
So humble as well. You guys are doing great work. How was your weekend? You guys have a good weekend?
Last I checked.
Blake?
I had a fabulous weekend. Got to hang out with some friends both Saturday and Sunday. Got to hang out with Fred while the Chiefs played. That was fun. If you listen to that on Saturday, it was great radio. And then I think I went 3-for-4 on the weekend on my pick, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, and you knew that the Chiefs would ultimately win. Should have been a much closer game if the officials hadn't gift-wrapped Kansas City that drive. I'm sure you agree with that,
Fred.
I mean, it felt like a 16-14 game to me.
Did it. Because I went ahead and, you know, you guys know I was in Houston before I came to Dallas. And
quite explosive.
I have a lot of Houston folks on both my Twitter and on my Facebook. And so I had to listen to them bitch and complain like, you know, D'Amico Ryans and every other Houstonian. Because apparently, you know, 7 minutes left in the first quarter when that first first roughing the passer was called, which we know that those usually have a huge effect on the rest of the game that's, you know, still 53 minutes left. And then one more thing while I got you guys
you know what,
here.
Fred, this is not okay.
the roughing, the unnecessary roughness, which, you know, whatever. Well, 6-1, have it done to another. That there was still 1:52 left to go in the third quarter on that. 9 more plays on that drive, including 2 more third downs and a fourth down that the Houston Texans defense was not able to hold the Chiefs offense. So again, look, we can complain all we want, but that's football.
Look, I'll make a confession, all right? And I'm not stupid enough to admit this like the Houston fans did when it happened day after the game, but I did feel for a little bit. Packers-Cowboys last year, you don't get that penalty from Deron Bland, you're off the field. It could have been very different on the first drive, very different. Mm-hmm. Maybe they lose 49-41. I don't know.
I saw this quote from Chris Boyd, by the way. He's just saying that, you know, he thought he made a big play and we got the ball. Yeah. And he says, I love everybody here. I love my coaches. I would never disrespect anybody. I love Frank. I'm a God-fearing man. I respect everybody in that building. So I guess that's just another example of how 2 or 3 seconds isn't enough to grab context, because it sure looked like the coach was pissed off at him for getting the flag. And he was like, don't talk to me like that.
I mean, he threw his helmet across the field and then sprinted and two hands shoved him. It wasn't like a love tap, but they both met. It felt like we didn't really need much context. Like, watching the football game, I just saw him push the coach almost to the ground. That looks disrespectful, but I guess. I mean, you can always just clean up your words after. They might have had an internal discussion and discipline. But I'm glad when he came to the public, he at least saved face.
We saw last Friday night, though, in Ohio State and Texas, just a couple of, you know, really boneheaded personal foul type of plays. Yeah. You know, I think these guys get super fired up for some of these biggest moments, and you know, they're already on the edge of emotion, and that maybe just pushed them over the top. Most interesting concept I've heard today about the Cowboys is this idea that, you know, maybe Jason Witten as the heir apparent is a big sticking point. You know, why did Mike McCarthy decide after talking with Jerry Jones that this isn't enough? And, you know, then we heard that there's whispers Kellen Moore might not have been impressed with the conversation he had last Friday. Yeah. What if the Cowboys are saying, hey, it's going to be a shorter contract and you're basically going to be training Jason Witten to be the next head coach? How bizarre is that?
Schottenheimer's perfect for that.
Well, thing. I was going to say then you end up with Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
That makes total sense. That's
probably why.
I would just say hire Witten.
I was going to say at that point, you might as well.
Just go ahead and hire Witten. Just see if Witten can pull you out of this thing like Dan Campbell pulled the Detroit Lions.
Just don't waste any time with it.
Just don't make it awkward for anybody. Just go ahead and find a way to make it happen.
Of course, you may back yourself into that corner anyway. Of course, then the real question is going to be, what kind of OC and DC is he going to get?
Because they're getting snatched up now.
You know,
now that Ben Johnson's been hired.
I mean, if it's Witten and Mike Zimmer's the DC and Schottenheimer's the OC.
Yeah, that's probably what you would do. Yeah.
You got a pretty good shot. I mean, that's essentially on the job training anyway. I'll let you handle the offense. You handle the defense. I'm going to, you know, just take care of this part of the head coaching. And, you know, I guess I would be intrigued by that storyline. It'd be a massive bombshell to talk about here on The Fan.
Well, I listened to you guys' first segment. I mean, it's not like anybody else has beaten anybody else's door down for Brian Schottenheimer. I mean, I asked Bobby Belt when we had him on a couple a month or two ago, what does Brian Schottenheimer do? If he's not calling plays, how much is he on the design of the offense?
I think that's the problem. I think that he wasn't doing anything because Mike McCarthy didn't want him to do anything.
Okay. But you think he's fully capable of running the whole offense?
I think he's capable. I think he's absolutely capable. He's done it before.
He's been 14 years in
offense. But you have a coach over there that probably, you know, Zach was talking about earlier that, you know, they were saying, you know, maybe McCarthy admitted to him, hey, maybe we do need to do some of this San Francisco stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and like Schottenheimer kind of probably looking at him like, bro, we've been trying to tell you that now for five years.
Dawned on you?
All right. I'm glad you guys brought this up because I heard you guys mention that as well. How much of this post-McCarthy conversation that we're having is sour grapes from the Cowboys?
There's been a lot of whispers about what was going on over there with that organization.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff we've heard about for the last five years.
The Micah Parsons stuff, Prescott stuff, the Mike McCarthy stuff.
Kellen Moore.
This is not a sour grapes thing. This is stuff that actually happened.
But when you're winning, you're 12-5, that coming out, it does sound like sour grapes at that point. Right, but now, I get that. I get that. All right.
Seems very far-fetched, but, I mean, they did it with Jason Garrett already, so, you know, maybe this is just, you know, exactly what we should expect to be in their playbook. And after hearing Jane Slater's report about how, you know, that was being discussed with Mike McCarthy, I guess it shouldn't surprise us if they're just looking for the best head coach they can get who's willing to have it known that Jason Witten is here to eventually take your job. What's y'all Super Bowl matchup?
I want Chiefs and Commanders.
Chiefs, Commanders, I'm on it. I second it.
Native American heads will explode at that point. So, you know, I'm all for it. Not that I, you know.
Wow.
Just
wow.
In the sense
history of this nation? You went there?
Well, in the sense of we're going to hear that storyline about why haven't the Chiefs had their name changed? And then we're going to have pro Redskins people come out. And then we're going to have people come out because they're pissed off that the Commanders should have never been the Commanders. So I'm all for that conversation.
You think that'll be the biggest storyline in the Super Bowl?
Oh, it'll be one of them, absolutely. Oh. Guaranteed.
That'll be the lead.
Let's go Bills Commanders.
And what exactly would that storyline be? Native American heads exploding?
In not so many words, yes.
Okay.
In not so many words, yes.
Mavs hit rock bottom earlier.
Oh, rock bottom. 11 o'clock, you're losing to the Josh Green, Brandon Miller-less Hornets. You got LaMelo out there dropping buckets. Daniel Gafford's giving you a career high. But Klay Thompson, it's time to bring him off the bench.
Notre Dame is driving their enemy territory and just picked up a 4th-and-1.
Yeah, Chief is on this right now. He's saying, Marcus Freeman, you can't punt in this game, 4th-and-1, and he just power runs this thing for the
first.
In
no man's land, that's the right call. It's too long to kick a field goal. You're across midfield.
Did anybody pick Notre Dame to win in this at this table?
Yeah, I did.
Just you, Chief.
Yeah.
Chief. To cover or to win?
Lone Wolf.
Straight up win.
To win, straight up.
I love it.
Straight up, put my nuts on the line and everything.
I like it.
Hey, I was going to be legendary.
We saw it. Impressive. I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
I was crotch first.
It was awesome.
Thanks to Ross Lebinski and for Lucius Alexander here on a Monday. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chia Follow and Broadus. The Fan After Dark is coming up next. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy 3. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.